Well, hey, like Seth said, I am so, so honored, excited to be here with y'all. My name is Amir, one of the pastors at our Conway campus, and my wife Bethany and I, we pastor young adult ministry and our weekend volunteers, and we love getting to do that. We've been pastors for 9 years in Conway, all year. I didn't grow up in church. I never imagined being a pastor. Oftentimes, if I get to speak like this, I'm in worship, and I'm like, Lord, how do we get here? I don't even know what's going on right now. I want to show you a picture of our family. My wife, Beth, is here on the front row. I said this at first service. I've never seen my face so big in my life, so this was daunting. I was like, whoa, pores. Okay, anyways. This is my wife, Bethany. She's here on the front row. This is my best friend, and we've been married for 7 years this summer. We met in college at UCA, and we're from Conway, and she's the love of my life. I like to say she's the MVP of our household. All the married guys said amen. They know what I'm talking about. When she's not around, things are a little worse. When she's around, everything's amazing. That little boy is my little brown boy, Dax Ray. He's our four-year-old oldest son. He is hilarious. And I'll tell you a story about him in a second, but he's our oldest son. And then that little sweet girl with her cheeky smile is Farrah Hope. She's 7 months old, and she's as sweet can be. It's funny. People tell us, like, Dax is my mini-me, and Farrah is, like, best mini-me. And who is not in that picture is our middle son. His name is Kyler Brave, and he actually passed away December 2021 at 30 weeks. He had a chromosomal abnormality. I actually got to speak here about a year and a half ago. If some of y'all were here, I got to share some of his story, and we miss him dearly. We believe he's in heaven. But anytime I get to introduce my family, not just like this, like people ask me in the gym, like, how many kids you have? And I'm like, here we go. I'm like, I have three. And because I held that little boy. And he's always going to be a part of our family, so I'm always going to share. And we miss him dearly. But I want to tell you one story about Dax that happened 7 days ago, okay? I can't make this up. Just to give you a little temperature of the Roast and Pour household, my son's been watching for over a year this YouTube show called Beginner Bible. I think it's like an old like VHS thing, because it's old. But his favorite beginner Bible story is David and Goliath. Shocking, right? Like the little man in him. And he'll be cheering for Goliath. I almost said Delilah. That's funny. It used to be an old radio show, Delilah, Sunday nights. The older people know what I'm talking about. She tried to encourage people. I hope she loved God. She sounded like it. Anyways, Beth gets home from church. It's warm outside in Conway. She's like, hey, Dax, here's some comfy clothes. I want you to change, and we're going to go play outside. Well, if y'all have a toddler, if you have a toddler in your family or you're a parent of that, you know, they like to take their sweet time. So Beth's like jokingly, hey, Dax, hurry up. You're being like a sloth. Come on, buddy. Let's hurry up. Dax walks out of his room with some attitude. And he looks at my wife, Bethany. I can't make this up. He said, Mom, you're being a Philistine. And Beth didn't know if she should laugh or correct him. The Philistines is what Goliath's from, if you're like, what does that mean? And Beth, I was like, wow, that's the weirdest thing our son's ever said to us. So if you get frustrated with someone at work or school this week, be like, man, you're being a Philistine. That could be your cheesy Bible joke to tell them. So we started an iPhone note called Things Dax Says, and that one made it in there. I love Seth and Kendra a lot. I want to honor them before we get into the Word. They're some of the best friends, our best friends in the whole world. Over 10 years ago, we met in Conway, all of us going to school, being a part of New Life Church there, serving, leading, interning together. And I want to tell one Seth and Kendra story. Can I tell one Seth and Kendra story? Okay, because I've known him for a long time. 5 years ago, before we have kids, we went on family vacation one summer together. We went to Daytona Beach, Florida. We found out Daytona Beach is not the summer vacation place it used to be, but we thought it'd be cool. Okay, so we went, and we were there. We had fun just ourselves. But anyways, we had a ministry event that night, so we started driving like at 7 p.m., and it was about 14 hours, so we drove through the night. Amir volunteered to be get the graveyard shift. I drove from 1 to like 6 a.m. Seth was my co-pilot, supposed to stay awake for me. In 30 minutes, he fell asleep. Praise God. So it was just me and the road, you know. Well, we get to our stop there. It was like 7:30 a.m. We stopped at Chick-fil-A. Mind you, I have not slept. They have slept for like 3 or 4 hours. We get some breakfast. We're about to sit down, and Seth's like, hey, who wants to pray? Sweet Kendra's like, I'll pray. So Kendra prays, Lord, bless this food, bless our time. Thank you for getting us here. Save Jesus' name. Amen. We start opening our Chick-fil-A and eating. 1 minute later, I can't make this up. I don't know why to this day. My wife, Bethany, goes, okay, I'll pray, and starts praying. Lord, thank you for this food. And I look up, and I was like, what? Kendra, head down, starts praying. And I look at Seth, and this is Seth. He goes, and staring at Beth, she says, amen. The girls just start eating. And Seth said, hold on, Beth. Did you just pray 1 minute after Kendra prayed? And she's like, Kendra didn't pray. And he said, yes, she did. Was her prayer not good enough? Beth was so tired, didn't even realize. She like zoned out. Kendra had prayed. And sweet Kendra, Beth started praying. Kendra goes, and just started praying. But she's so sweet. And says like, what's wrong with you? You can't pray. We laughed, guys, for like 5 minutes straight crying. I think people thought we were on drugs because we hadn't slept. And Just a little story. Come on, if you love your pastor, you give God praise for them. I like to say I'm always going to laugh with Seth and Kendra, but also I'm going to grow in my walk with Jesus. We started a vision series last week. And man, we've known this date was coming. Beth got to be a part of Kendra's shower yesterday, so we've been praying. And I've been praying for you guys. And man, I feel very led to speak on the topic of freedom. And I think we see that in Romans 8. And man, God's vision for your life, in a small way or overall, for you, your family, young people, your future family, one part of that is always you walking in the freedom God intended by the power of the Holy Spirit. You need to get that in your heart right now today. I heard a pastor once say this: freedom is a road. And on one end of the road is freedom in Jesus. And on the other end of the road is bondage to sin. And as Christ followers, we're always moving in one of those directions. And our hope is to be moving in the direction of freedom, walking in and towards freedom. So I've entitled this message, Pursuers of Freedom. Not to just give you a cool title, but really to get the mindset of, as Christ followers, one of the ways we walk out this faith is to pursue freedom. What you're going to see in Scripture is Jesus has paid for that freedom, but we got to walk it out in Jesus' name, okay? So just to give you some context of what's going on in the Bible right here. In Romans 6, 7, and 8, it's kind of a grouping of chapters together. And in my Bible, there's a subheading, and it says, Freedom from Sin's Grasp. An overview of chapter 6 is it's talking about how believers are free from sin's control. It says 3 or 4 times that Jesus has set us free. Chapter 7 changes, though, and there's this tension of, man, I'm a believer, but I still can struggle with sin. And then chapter 8 is talking about just walking in victory from sin. And so some themes of these chapter biblical truths is, yeah, Jesus has set you free. As Christ followers, the book of Romans was written to Christians, but it's like the most theological book in the Bible. So he is telling Christians, hey, Christ has set you free. You're no longer a slave to sin anymore. But that doesn't mean we'll never sin again. It doesn't mean we're incapable of sinning. It just rather means, man, you have the authority to walk in freedom in Jesus' name. But this victorious walk only comes by the Holy Spirit. You can't do it in your own strength. You can try. I would be as bold to say you can't pursue freedom without the Spirit of God. It is one of the many blessings when the Father sent his Spirit to empower us too. So here's the challenge. We could have freedom in Jesus and still struggle daily, weekly with sin. And for some of us, if we got to a place, and I've been here, I'm about to tell a little bit of my story, where this gets unchecked. To be honest, there's a lot of believers in our world today, our country today, who are, hey, I'm saved by grace, I'm going to heaven, but I kind of just do whatever. The Bible even calls this like a grace abuser. Just kind of do whatever because you think, oh, I've prayed and God's forgiven me. But really, then it progresses because then sin can kind of take a hold of your life and it leads to what the Bible calls words like bondage or a stronghold or what we might say is an addiction. Let me give you some examples. I know you know these and it might feel a little heavy, but there's hope in Jesus we're about to talk about. This, we could all struggle with these things, but for example, pride, envy, jealousy, acting out our anger, hurting people with our words and actions, lying. Man, things of the heart, resentment, bitterness, hatred. There are Christ followers, I've been here before, who literally hate people in this world. It's so tough. Probably the biggest one in America is idolatry. It's putting things first in our heart, whether we know it or not, that Jesus is supposed to be in those places. And usually these are just normal things. It's not about the things. Money, people, food, success, politics, my goodness. Media. I'm not saying you're not supposed to have those things in your life, but they're never meant to be on the throne of your heart. That's Jesus. But we can get out of whack sometimes. Let me tell you a bit about lust, sexual sin, substances, drugs, alcohol. Often starts for most people like something to do for fun or something to do to help us cope, and then it gets a grip of you. And then you can't stop anymore. So every Friday comes and you find yourself in the same place with the same group of friends. And it was recreational at first, and now it's got a hold of your life. And Jesus wants you to walk in freedom. I want you to keep hearing that. For me, just to be real with you, what I needed freedom from amongst many things, but the biggest thing in my story was pornography. I was exposed to that when I was in middle school, and it took a hold of my life till my mid-20s. I didn't grow up in church. That's no excuse for falling into sin. I got saved right before my 21st birthday, and God started doing a lot of things in my heart, but this was the biggest area he started convicting me. Just to be real with you, the only conviction, if you would even, the only time I felt bad about that is I thought if my mom found out, she would be devastated. So God started wrecking me, and to be honest, freedom for me in this area was a journey. I wish I could have got free in a day or a week or a month. It didn't take me a day or a week or a month to get in it. It didn't take me a week or a month to get out of it. For sometimes God supernaturally heals people. I'm not saying that. but for also I had to unlearn many things in my life and learn new things. I had to learn to walk in step with the Holy Spirit that he wants to help me. I had to learn to get specific scriptures in my heart when it came with purity and sexual sin. And not only get in my heart, but when I felt tempted, the next level is you start to speak them out in faith against the temptation. I had to learn that. I had to learn that skill so I wouldn't keep failing. I had to unlearn so many things. Terrible habits I had. When I felt tired or lonely or weak, I would go to that just thinking it would help me instead of the Lord, instead of the cross, instead of people I love. And I'm so thankful. It was hard in the beginning for my friends, my roommates who helped me walk, my leaders, my pastors, people like Seth. We used to talk about this 10 years ago all the time. Help me pursue freedom. So if you're in a struggle today or you've been in one before, hey, I can relate. We all have a story in this place. One of our mentors always says, everyone is equal at the foot of the cross. We got to stop comparing our story to other people. No, we all need Jesus. We all need grace. And you need to know he wants all of us to walk in freedom. This is what we're going to do. We're going to read Romans 8. I got a big study Bible because I got a lot to learn. Praise God. Okay, we're going to read verses 1 through 17. We're going to read a chunk of scripture. Okay, I want you to stay with me if you're on your phones or it can be on the screens. And then I'm going to break down a little bit, and then we're going to get some points and break it down too. You ready? Let's reread 8 and through 1, and then we're going to read all of it. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Think about this scripture with everything we just said. Because through Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life, that's the Holy Spirit, set me free from the law of sin and death. For the law was powerless to do, it was weakened by the flesh. God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin and sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met. This is talking about Christians, those who live not by the flesh, but by the Spirit. Pause. If you are a Christ follower in this room, I want to tell you something. If you're not, you're not sure what you believe about God, religion, Jesus, I'm so glad you're here. And I want you to know that Jesus died for you, and one of the many things he died for is to set you free from things having a hold of your life. But for the majority of people that are probably Christ followers, this is what you need to hear today. There's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. It doesn't mean when you got saved there's less condemnation. It doesn't mean there's a reduction of condemnation. No, there's none. So if earlier when I was reading scripture, or when you have a hard moment, you feel heavy, self-defeating, something, that's not from God. That's from the enemy. Condemnation's goal from the enemy is to separate you from God and others. It's to get you to a place of isolation. It's to get you to beat yourself up. Conviction is from the Holy Spirit. So yes, you can walk in temptation and fall to sin and you feel some kind of way, and that's the Spirit of God. But he's trying to draw you back to the cross and back to the Father. Why? So we repent, and we get forgiven, and we get restored, and we get healed, and we get back to pursuing freedom. If you don't get that dichotomy in your life, you're going to live a non-victorious life. It's the conviction of God that wants to lead you to freedom. It's the condemnation and the enemy wants to put you in a hole. Don't tell anyone. You're the only one that struggles. I can't believe you did that again. That's not God. It'll never be God. God's saying, come on, get up. I've called you by name. I love you. You're not a slave to sin anymore. I know you messed up, but my grace is sufficient for you, but you got to change your ways. That's what God said, metaphorically speaking. Okay, one more thing. I love that, the gospel message right here. God sent Jesus to be the sin for us, although he lived a sinless life, so we can walk victoriously. You can't forget it. Freedom is impossible without the work of the cross. Can I get an amen on that? Let's keep reading verse 5. Those who live according to the flesh have their mindset on what the flesh desires, but those who live according to the Spirit have their mindset on what the Spirit desires. The mind of the flesh is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. That's what we want. The sinful mind is hostile to God. This verse is hard. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the flesh cannot please God. I like to call that a spicy verse. It stings a little. Verse 9, you, however, again, we're speaking to believers who have a new identity. You're not controlled by the flesh, but by the Spirit, because the Spirit of God lives in you. If anyone does not have the Spirit, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. I love that. Listen to this powerful verse, verse 11. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. I can't even wrap my mind around that thought. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your bodies through whose Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, everything we just said, We have an obligation, brothers and sisters, but not to the flesh to live according to it. But for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you live by the Spirit, you put to death the misdeeds of the body. You will live. This is not just talking about a physical life. This is a victorious living. That's what it's talking about. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons and daughters of God. You didn't receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear. You received a spirit of sonship, or another translation says adoption. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. That's like a term of endearment, like a kid saying, Dad, Dad, to his father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we're God's children. Now, if we're children, then we're heirs of God, co-heirs of Christ. We'll talk about that in a minute. If indeed we share in his sufferings, we might also share in his glory. I know that was a lot of scripture. There's a lot of truth there, but I wanted to read all of it. I don't want to go back and forth, right? So I want to give you three biblical truths based off what we just read in Romans 8 that I believe are going to help us pursue freedom, okay? Number one, if you're taking notes, we are adopted. We are adopted. I'll explain. Verse 15 to reread says this. The Spirit you received does not make you a slave again, so you live in fear. Rather, it's brought your adoption to sonship. We cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit testifies with our spirit. We're God's children. When you became a Christian, you were spiritually adopted into the family of God. You were given a new identity. You're now a children of God, a co-heir with Jesus, an heir with Christ. And I know we don't use that language often in America or in present day, but Paul was very intentionally using this language. Because in Roman culture, the life and position of a child changed when they were adopted into a new family. They lost the old rights of the family, and they gained all the new rights of the new family. They got the father's name. They became an heir to the father's estate, but their old life was completely wiped out. Any debt they had was canceled, and nothing from their past was counted against them once they were physically adopted into a new family. And the same thing happens for us spiritually when we're adopted. We're given a new name, a new heart, a new identity, a relationship with the Father, Son, and Spirit. We're given the forgiveness of God and the grace of God and the mercy of God and the freedom of God. And we are blessed with eternal life with Jesus. Our debts have been paid for, past, present, and future. That's wild. Mistakes are not counted against us because of the cross of Jesus. It's as if God the Father sees us through the blood of Jesus and does not count those things against us. I don't know if you knew when you woke up this morning, you've been adopted. And some of you, I came to tell that today for the first time, but most of you, you need to be reminded of that. You're not a slave to sin anymore. You have a new identity of Christ. And what I love to say is when you know who you are, a child of God, you'll know what to do, walk in freedom. Your identity should lead you to walking and talking and living differently. And we must know that as sons and daughters to pursue freedom. Number two, what we feed leads. And I'll explain. What we feed leads. Verses 5 and 6. Those who live according to the flesh have their mindset on the flesh desires, but those who live according to the Spirit have their mindset on the Spirit desires. The mind controlled by the flesh is death. The mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. Paul divides Christians into two categories here. Those who live according to the flesh and those who live according to the Spirit. And he gives us a simple test. Hey, if you want to know where you're at, he says, what's your mindset on? We say that phrase, mindset. What's your mindset on? Is it the things of God, the things of the Spirit, or is it the things of this world? And in order to understand really this thing he's talking about, we must understand the principle of spiritual order, and I'll explain. We are three-part beings, if you didn't know, spirit, soul, and body. The Bible addresses a few times. 1 Thessalonians 5 is an example if you want to go read it later. But I want to break these down real quick. Spirit, we'll start with that. We're all spiritual beings, meaning everyone that you ever see in your life is going to spend eternity somewhere. And I know that can feel heavy, but that's one of the reasons why we have to go after lost people and be a light for Jesus like we just sang about. When you became a Christian, it actually is earlier, it says this in Romans, your spirit was made alive in Christ and you're in right standing with God. And God's plan is that our spirit in the spiritual order would lead our life, okay? Well, then the next category is our soul. Our soul, sometimes simplified, described as our mind and our will and our emotions, the things we think or choose or feel. This is the middle ground of spiritual order. This is why most of the time temptation starts in your mind. This is why our minds can feel like a battlefield. I was reminded of that old Jordan Sparks song, Why Does Love Gotta Feel Like a Battlefield? Hey, a battlefield. And then she says, Bear, go get your armor. She's talking about the Lord. Come on now. She was prophesying. Ephesians 6, word of God. Get on there. Okay, anyways. God's heart is that your soul, which your mind is found in, would be led by your spirit. Let me say it better. Would be submitted to your spirit. Well, now you have your body. Your body is our home, temporary on this earth, for our soul and our spirit. Scripture says when we got saved, our bodies became a temple of the Holy Spirit. How cool is that? Now, your body, you must know, has normal physical and emotional needs and desires. That's part of being a human. That's how God made us. But also within our body is our sin nature. We were born with it. And even when we get saved, our flesh, this is what Romans 8 talks about, our flesh starts to combat a little bit. This is why we need the process of sanctification is the kind of a biblical term. And all that simply means is in our life, as we follow Jesus, our soul and our body is being renewed and transformed by Jesus. Your spirit's already made perfect. It don't need no work. But our body and our soul need some work. So this is what we're going to do. I want to show y'all visually how this plays out. I need 5 volunteers to come with me on stage. I'm not going to embarrass you, but we're going to have some fun here in church. It's okay. Don't be shy now. 1, come on up. 2. 3, can I get a lady too? I need a lady. You can't just be the fellas, even though fellas, I'm proud of y'all. Come on. Yes, ma'am. You, 4. Need one more. Yes, sir, 5. Y'all give it up for them as they come up right here. Okay, that's what we're going to do. Some of y'all have heard 4 words out of everything I've said because you're like, what's that rope about? What's that rope about? What's that rope about? Okay. Will you, here's my 5th. Sir, I want you to come stand right here. Mesa, will you come stand right here? Okay, ma'am, I want you to grab this rope. You're going to represent the Spirit. The Lord has chosen you. Praise God. Okay, you're going to be in the middle here. If I have a knot, I might need y'all's help. You're in the middle. You're going to be the soul, okay? And you're going to be in. You're going to represent the body of the flesh. It wasn't me. It was the rope that picked that. Okay, I still love you. Okay, here we go. So just to give a visual of what's going on here, and you two stand on the side. I'm going to show you something. Imagine this is happening within you every moment of the day. Spirit, soul, and body. And if we were going to play a metaphorical, we're not. 10% here, tug of war, this is what's happening in your body. So let me give you a quick example. I don't want you to pull, I want you to relax. Spirit, I just want you to pull, like a tug of war. Pull, 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 pull. Okay, pause. You see what happens. When our spirit's in lead, our soul and our minds found within this is following, and our body is here, but within that is the flesh is the caboose. That's how God intended it. Now let's switch. I want you, spirit, not to move. You start pulled, sir. Pull, 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 pull. Okay, pause. Now, though, when our body and within that our flesh is in leadership, our mind and soul follows, our spirit is the caboose. That's never how God intended it. What's so interesting is when you if you don't feed your spirit, it gets quieter. Oftentimes people describe the Holy Spirit as a gentleman. But conversely, when you try to starve or don't feed your flesh, it gets louder. Some of y'all are feeling hangry right now, ready for post-lunch after church. You know what I'm saying? Or if you've ever tried to fast, or if you've ever just tried to say no to sin, it's like your body is like screaming. Why? Because your flesh gets louder when it is. So this is what we're going to do. I want to give you 2 examples of feeding your spirit and 2 examples of feeding your flesh and see how this plays out every day. Example number 1, we're going to go with the flesh. I want you to imagine, no matter what season of life you're in, it's been a long day. You come home, and whether you're single, family, have kids, and it's late at night, you're like, I'm going to watch a show at night. And let's just be real. I'm not here to be prude or, oh, Pastor Amir, but you watch a show that's inappropriate. Language, violence, nudity, the whole works, right? You're watching in bed. Cool, this is my show. This is my series. What's the big deal? I love God, but I can watch whatever I want. And then you lay in bed and your mind starts racing because what you watch, kind of what you're exposed to, and you have a hard time falling asleep because your mind is racing. Well, in that case, you're not a bad person or evil, but it's like you fed your flesh. Mason, will you come over here and grab this side of the rope? Example number 2. For those of you who are married, and if you're not married, this temptation will come in your life. You're married, okay? And at your work, there's people of opposite sex, because that's life. If you work remote, go with me here. You're at your home by yourself with your dog. Okay, I'm not talking about that. And you notice someone of opposite sex that's attractive. You're at your desk, and you thought, man, I want to go talk to him, which is no big deal. It's normal. But then you're also like, man, they looked attractive today. What if I gave him a compliment? What if I flirted a little? What if I even maybe gave a hug or something like that? So you sit in your desk, and remember, the battlefield's in our mind. So you get up, and you walk over, and you do that thing. Male or female, doesn't matter. You're a married man talking to a woman. You're a married woman talking to a man. You start talking to him, and you flirt. You cross the line a little, compliment them, and you walk away, and you think, man, I don't know if that was honoring to my spouse. And it's like you fed your flesh. I want you to come over, sir. Will you grab the rope as well? So just for illustration purposes, Remember, 10%. I want y'all to play tug of war real quick. Just chill. So y'all start pulling, and you can start pull. Pull, pull, like for real, pull. The 10%. Okay, pause. I don't want you, no falling. We got to take care of the spirit here. Okay, anyways. So you can see what's happening within you is your flesh is going to kind of take leadership. Let's be real here. You can see how this can be a slippery slope fast. One decision at a time. One compromise at a time. And you're going to start living your life. Some of y'all are like, Amir, I can't overcome. And it might be because you are feeding your flesh too much. And your spirit is there. And it wants to live. And your mind is innocent. But it's getting pulled over by that. That's what's happening inside you. Okay, let's go the other way. One morning you wake up. It's Monday morning. We got a case of the Mondays. A little stressed. College students, we're going to class. I don't want to go to class. It is what it is, okay? 8 a.m. are tough. So you're tired and you think, okay, instead of listening to secular music or the news, nothing wrong with those things in some regards. Okay, go with me here. I used to listen to a lot of rap. It was not good. Okay, pre-Jesus. You decide to turn on some worship music. But not just turn on worship music. You decide to worship in your car. Like seek the Spirit of God because you feel anxious, because you feel tired from the weekend, because you need some strength, and you start to worship God on your short drive to work or short drive to school or long drive it is, and you sense the presence of God in your car. It's like God strengthens you and gives you grace, and what happens is it's like you just fed your spirit. So, sir, will you go back to the other side? You're my body. You got to stay. Let me give you a second example. We all have struggles in our life. There's all temptations we battle. Some wisdom would be you invite someone in to help you. A lot of times people call this accountability. I'm talking about not a rando, your best friend, a sibling, a family member, whatever it is. One night you're feeling tempted because that's real. It's a Friday night, your mind's racing. You are brave and wise and you text that best friend. You text that person, hey, will you pray for me? I'm feeling tempted. I'll do you one better. This person's so awesome, they call you. You're like, oh Lord, I don't want to talk on the phone. I just was texting you, which is easier, but it's good. They call you and what do y'all do? They said, hey, because this person loves you. What's going on? Let's talk about it. Okay, I hear you feel tempted about that. Hey, what should we do? What should we not do? They pray over the phone over you. You get off the phone. Man, not only do you feel encouraged, because that's what the body of Christ does. It supports each other. It has each other's back. That's why the enemy wants you to be in isolation. Because he knows when y'all get together, you're going to overcome some things. We all struggle with stuff. You go to sleep, wake up the next day, and what happens? I won last night. One moment of temptation, I won, and you start to feel and strengthened and encouraged and empowered by the Holy Spirit, and it's like you fed your spirit. So, sir, will you come back over here? Now I wanted to play tug of war the other way. Don't really play 10%, but just pull, just for a second. Pull, 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 pull. Oh, he's really trying to. That was not 10%. That was 80. Praise God. So now we're feeding our spirit. Some of y'all wonder, man, have you ever had an experience where you feel like someone says the phrase, I'm on a spiritual high? Sometimes that was like a conference or retreat, but sometimes you go to a life group and the Lord was there. You get an opportunity to serve someone in your everyday life, work, family, friends, in the community, and you're like, sense the Lord. It's not a fake spiritual high. It's simply because you fed your spirit more than your flesh. And sometimes when we do that a lot, we start to sense God more because we are building the spirit man inside of us up. Last important thing I'll say, because I know some of y'all think of it. I'm not saying you're never going to feed your flesh and only feed your spirit. That's impossible. We're humans, but I'm saying one moment at a time, one day at a time, one week at a time, one month at a time, you do your best to feed your spirit and starve your flesh, and you're going to start to see how easier it is or more real it is or more able you are to overcome temptation and to walk in freedom and pursue freedom. Amen. One decision at a time, one day at a time. We give God praise for these people. Come on, y'all go sit down. Thank you. I'm not in the rodeo or anything. I don't know how to use this rope. Praise God. This is tough. Okay, to apply. I wanted you to see that with your eyes because visually that's what's going on within you every day of your life. Application. We got to intentionally, because it doesn't happen by accident, feed our spirit and intentionally starve our flesh. Feeding your spirit is anything you know you like to do to connect with God. Pray, worship, word, fasting, getting in biblical community, serving people, being obedient. Come on, being repentive. The Holy Spirit convicts you, and you say, yes, sir. Forgive me, God. Help me walk differently, God. It's the Holy Spirit empowering you to walk in freedom, but starving your flesh. Man, we got to be mindful of what we watch, what we listen to, the things we tolerate. Let me be bold with y'all. Some of y'all tolerate things in your home that should never be in your home. And you're wondering why your mind is racing. You're wondering why you're having a hard time. Amir can't just go to whatever website he wants and thinks it's no big deal. I'm a Christian. We had a pastor come when we were college students. The Lord reminded me of this phrase 10 years ago. And he said, you can't put yourself in a place of personal weakness and expect God's strength. That's called foolishness. So when you know where your weakness is, you don't feed your flesh and let's play the game. Let's get as close as we can. No. You go the other way and on the other side of that and seek God and seek feeding your spirit. And the hope is we're going to feed our spirit more because what we feed leads. And then the goal is our mind is controlled by our spirit. And Scripture says the promise is there's life and peace there in Jesus' name. Last point, number three. We walk in freedom. So we're adopted. What we feed leads. But now we got to walk out this freedom, what we see in Romans 8. I want to read Romans 8, verse 2 again for the third time. Because through Jesus, this law of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, set me free from sin and death. Galatians 5:1. It is for freedom that Christ set us free. Stand firm then and do not allow yourselves to be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. There's two parts that scripture are so powerful. Jesus has set you free, his part. But we must stand firm and walk out this freedom, our part. It's a two-part thing. When I was praying for you guys, this week it was real simple. I got this picture of a jail cell. And someone was inside of it and the jail doors just flying open. And chains coming off someone. It's like that's God doing his part. But you still have to decide to get up and walk it out. And get out of that cell. And this is a metaphor, of course. I'm not saying that's always that easy. But I'm saying if that cross was enough, let's do our part to walk it out and start walking and pursuing freedom. Amen. I'm going to read you a story that's about an elephant. Go with me here. I want you to imagine an elephant when I read the story. I don't know the author's story, but I heard the story years ago when I was preparing for y'all. I felt like the Lord reminded me. It's called Elephant Rope. As a man was passing elephants, he suddenly stopped, confused by the fact that these huge creatures were being held by a small rope tied to their leg. No chains, no cages. It was obvious that the elephants could at any time break away from the bonds, but for some reason they did not. He saw a trainer nearby and asked why these animals didn't get away. The trainer said, well, when they were really young and little, we tied this rope around their leg and it held them at that age to where we want them to stay. As they grow up, listen to this, they were conditioned to believe they can't break away. They believe the rope could still hold them, so they never try to break free. The man was amazed. These animals, an elephant, at any time could break from their bonds, but because they believed they couldn't, they were stuck right where they were. I know that's a story, but I am amazed in my life and for too many believers how relatable this is. Jesus died for us. We are set free by the cross. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can walk it out. But because of lies we believe, because of our past, because of hard things we've been through, we are deceived, hear that, to think that's, Satan is called the great deceiver. We are deceived to think we can't break away. So we live bound, we live in the lack of freedom. And I wonder the heart of God saying, when all actuality, we could break away and walk in freedom in Jesus' name. During worship, I was reminded, I used to think, I love God with my whole heart. I just thought, for the rest of my life, I'm going to struggle with pornography. I love you, God, but I cannot get over this. Because I was deceived to think I had gone too far. I was deceived to think I could never get over that. And today, I walk in freedom. And that doesn't mean I'm perfect. That doesn't mean I never made a mistake. It's because God broke that deception by his cross. And he said, no, Amir, you can feed your spirit. And you can walk this out one day at a time. And I came to tell somebody here this weekend, you don't have to stay in this place for the rest of your life. You don't have to be deceived by what you think could happen. And this won't just be a thing we always struggle with. No, God's saying, I want that to be a part of your story that I redeemed you from and delivered you from. And then this is what's cool about God. He will use your story to help someone else get free. But you got to walk through that freedom today first. It's an invitation to pursue freedom. Quick practical thoughts. Some of y'all need to change your environment. You're being foolish. You can't keep going to that place or hanging out with those friends and wondering why you keep falling. Some of y'all need to invite people into your life to help you. That's wisdom. Quit doing it alone. The body of Christ is never meant to do it alone. We overcome together. We carry burdens together. Some of y'all, I'm a therapist. You need to seek some counseling. Maybe the reason why you feel stuck is something has been done to you. And I'm so sorry. Growing up, or you had a hard experience that was never intended, and you need someone to come alongside you who loves God, who will help you walk out this freedom that Jesus died for, to help you see yourself the way God made you and help you see God the way he intended. Some of you need to get many promises of this word in your heart and spirit and pray them over your life. But when those tempting thoughts come, you speak it with every authority in you by the power of Jesus. Ephesians 6 says you take up the whole armor of God. The only offensive weapon is the sword of the Spirit. That means too many believers have a sword in their hand. They ain't swinging, baby. It's time to swing. I had to memorize scripture to get my heart so I would lay in bed and I would still feel tempted. It was like, pick up your phone, pick up your phone. And I said, no, 1 Corinthians 6:18, flee from sexual immorality. A mirror, all other sins a man commits is outside your body, but a mirror, he who sins sexually sins against your own body. A mirror, do you not know your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is from God? Walk it out, a mirror. I laid in my bed. If you walked in my room, you think I'd be a crazy person. I just kept saying that verse over and over, and I went to sleep, though. And I'll never forget that day. I woke up, and I said, I won last night, and I'm going to do that again tonight. Because the word of God is alive and active and sharper than a double-edged sword, is powerful. This is how we're going to end. What do? We pursue freedom one day at a time. Hey, you're a son and daughter of God. You've been adopted. You have a new identity. When you know who you are, you know what to do. Hey, we're going to feed our spirit and starve our flesh one day at a time. And hey, we're going to walk out freedom. If you fall, you get up, you seek God, and you walk out freedom. If you have 1 week in a row, you walk out freedom. If you have a year in a row, you walk out freedom. And if you ever fall short, you get back up, tell the people around you, and you start walking again in Jesus' name. This is how we're going to end. I'm going to pray for y'all. But there's a card in every one of y'all's seats. I want you to get out that card, and I want you to write this phrase. I'm pursuing freedom from blank. You fill in the blank. It could be one thing. It could be 15 things. You can do that now as we end. You can see first service. So if you're nervous about, oh, I don't know what people say, well, 100 people did it first service. There's no shame, no guilt, no condemnation in Jesus' name. I want you to fill out that card. And when we go back into worship after I pray for you, I want you to go put it under the cross as a declaration. For some of y'all, it's I'm going to continue to pursue freedom here. You know your story. But for some of y'all, you're making a decision today. There's secrets in your life. And you said, no, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. Lord, I lay this down at your feet. And what I've been praying for some of y'all who are going to take those cards up, and this has nothing to do with me. If you don't sense you're supposed to do this, don't do this. Some of y'all need to come have an altar moment, old school. And when you put that card on the cross, you need to come down and have a moment with Jesus. Or in your chair, have a moment with Jesus. We all have struggles. We all have things we're trying to pursue freedom from, but I think God wants to have a moment with you this morning.